for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, July the 6th, 2011. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of the service teaching on tainted pictures.
All right. We're ready to receive the Word of God. Amen.
Yes.
Brother Ronnie Bejew.
We want to thank Brother Kevin and Sister Patty for having us and the staff. It's always a pleasure and an honor to come to Arkansas. We've been doing this for so long now, we kind of feel like they might have adopted us. We've tried adoption through other means, but it hadn't come forth. But we feel like we've been adopted here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you have received something from the Lord thus far this week? Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the Lord because I'm sensing that He wants to do something special. I'm the Lord over God. Learning to minister is like learning to operate tools effectively. When I began to minister many years ago, and it does not make me a professor of sort, I could preach myself happy in 5 minutes. I mean, I had pages, ledger pages. We would just keep flipping them over. And my wife is talking sign language, doing this number. I am totally oblivious to what she's trying to say to me. I'm just hunkered down, honey, and kept preaching it. 2.5 hours later, I got the revelation. Hunker it down, boy. Shut it down. My first sermon, we were raised in a church of faith. The people were from Tennessee, and I was asked by one of the ministers on staff if I would minister to these people that night. We walked into their apartment, and they had no furniture. They had come believing God for every bit that they had. And I was going to preach this message, which I thought would at least take 5 minutes. And 2.5 hours later, they were still sitting on the floor, and I was preaching the gospel. Many of you are here because you're on a journey. Many of you here tonight are looking for answers. There is an awesome shifting going on in the atmosphere. 21st century church is going to go through some traumatic changes. Many people are feeling the birth pains of change already in churches. God never meant for us to settle for traditional concepts. God wants you to be radical. Somebody prayed for you, and this is why you're here tonight. Someone prayed for me when I was in the Vietnam War. Someone prayed for me to come into the kingdom. And those people, I thank them for. Even some of them are already in glory. But 15 years ago, God, now I'm going to get in my message. Just let me get comfortable with what God is doing. But 15 years ago, God began to talk to me about praying for the old generals, about churches. Brother Glenn was the general. I sat right here and heard him say to the congregation, who's going to take my place? Many of you are in a general position tonight. Who's going to succeed you? It's time for us to shift our concept of doing church in a different dimension and to begin to impart into the next generation. If you go back and study church history, you will find in the midsection of the book of Numbers that there was a new generation being prophesied that was going to come. We have heard through church history that it was going to be the Joshua generation. May I impart something to you tonight? Like my brother said, may I bless you with something? We are the Benjamin generation. We are the sons and daughters of His right hand. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a son. If you're a woman, say, I'm a daughter of God, and I sit at His right hand. That means we're going to have to learn to operate from a higher dimension than we've been operating. There are many, many means and ways that God can deliver people. I thank God for the deliverance ministry because I was one of those dudes that didn't think I had any problems with demons. I was one of them, Brother William, that helped hold the paper towels and thought, I ain't got no problem with demons. And one day I made an appointment. On my lunch break, of course, I figured, you know, this guy can do me in 15, 20 minutes. I am not that hard. I'm certainly not in bondage to anything. If you knew anything about my culture, you would know that I was in a lot of bondage. An hour and a half later, he is still working on me. And I said, man, I've got to go. I'm going to lose my job. He said, we'll reschedule for next week. Surely, Jane, I thought. Not moi. Sometimes I believe we try to get ahead of God. We get in a hurry. God does not want us to get in a hurry. By many times, by getting in a hurry, we will begin to have tainted visions and tainted images. Our thought life becomes marred because we have tried to, we put pressure upon our own selves. We have enough pressure fighting the enemy. Maybe you were like one of these guys. Brother William talked about this afternoon. Maybe you're a perfectionist. Maybe all your ducks got to be in line and in the row. Tonight we're going to talk about a prophet. His name is Elijah. Everybody say, Elijah is the prophet. Elijah had a journey, but in his journey, he lost sight of some of the things that God had told him in the early years. How many of you have ever lost sight of what God told you in previous years? Am I just talking to the choir, or am I talking to the whole church? I want to speak on the matter subject tonight for a few moments, and listen, I have freedom tonight because all the preachers ended up early. And I have taken up all the time that they didn't use and brought it into my message. Because equal time belongs to the preacher. Ain't that right, my brother? Let's talk tonight about the removal of tainted pictures. When I say tainted pictures, I want to give you a definition because it's going to fit in what we're going to be experiencing tonight. And maybe you'll find yourself in this arena of life. I'll give you the most simplest definition. I can give you paragraphs of definitions about something being tainted. It's the very opposite of the image of God. Words paint pictures. It makes me think of the artist that takes a piece of canvas with absolutely nothing on it. And he makes a line. And you go, I'm not an artist. Then he makes another line. And then he makes another line. And things begin to develop before his eyes. And before you know, he's painted a tree with a background. And he makes this painting come alive. God takes his word and he begins to paint his image in our souls and in our hearts. But the enemy comes and he wants to take that image. And sometimes that happens because we lose sight of who we are. Do you know who you are tonight? Do you know what you possess tonight? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an oh me?
Oh me.
Let's go back and pick up a little history. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we can break down the whole chapter into a prophet, a brook, and a bird. If you want an expository teaching, I can give it to you. Prophet, brook, bird. God called the prophet into a place of the nation of Israel in a very hard time. They were in a drought. The church is in a drought. A very dry place. But it is in dryness that we appreciate when the rain comes. And there's an amazing thing about when God allows the clouds to open to give us the rain that's been stored up in there. The first thing we begin to hear sounds. Sometimes we hear thunder. Sometimes we see lightning. And sometimes in South Louisiana, we even get a fresh breeze that comes in and we can just feel the little mist in the air. Rain's coming. Everybody say, rain's coming.
Rain's coming.
The Word of God, when we speak about rain, speaks about a rhema word. God is going to give the church a fresh rhema word that is going to turn her around. And we're going to do ministry out of the portals of glory like we have never ministered before. We are going to stand at times like oracles, and we're going to speak by divine revelation. And by having divine revelation, we will be able to be vessels of God that can be poured into, not to draw attention to ourselves, but draw attention to the precious Holy Spirit, and we will be able to be used by God to import those things into the lives of people, and many of them will be delivered right when the Word is being preached to them. We're not going to do away with the way we do deliverance. We still got to do Matthew 10. We still got to cast out devils. And you've obviously picked up in this camp meeting that there's going to be a progression. How many of you enjoy this about vampires?
Yeah.
And it's not just those little wimpy little things they show you on TV.
Right.
These dudes are real.
Yeah.
Because you see, there's always been two kingdoms, and the power of darkness has always been fighting against the kingdom of light. Elijah was no different. Just because Elijah didn't get to go to Bible college and take demonology 101 and 102, he was still had to fight the devil, and one of his worst enemies was Jesse. Everybody say Jezebel. And Jezebel is a false prophet. And you got to realize something. The devil can never overcome you other than that which you give him the power to do. Because the Bible says in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents. He didn't say I gave you power to be like Harry Potter. He said I gave you power to tread upon serpents. So you have the man of God, you have the prophet, you have the office of God. And we've had many self-appointed prophets.
Yes.
For $150, you can call the prophets in New York and they'll give you a word. Or the bishop comes on. He's no longer just a prophet, he's a master prophet. Find me that scripture. Help me to understand. I'm a country boy. Sometimes I'm a little slow. But sometimes my elevator moves pretty fast. And people are being seduced by the office. And they're being misused by the gift. And they're prostituting the people of God to build their kingdom. Be wise. If you let the powers of darkness use you, he is going to spit you out of his mouth when he's done with you. Poor Elijah. No Bible college. No school of training. Not a member of the first church. Prestigious. God is looking for people who are real. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the real deal. I am the real deal. Tainted means to affect or become affected with something bad or something that will corrupt you.
Yeah.
How many of you have heard the little slogan, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never bother me. That is the fattest lie the devil ever told you. Because Proverbs 6:2 says, you're snared. You're taken captive by the words of your mouth.
Yeah.
And don't let nobody put a curse on me. I'm putting it on myself.
Yeah.
Hello? You get up in the morning and you start talking bad about yourself. Guess what kind of day you're going to have? Hallelujah. Everybody take a deep breath and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thoughts can become the paint which is used to develop the picture on the canvas of your mind. Leviathan comes to church. He goes, this is between you and me. Don't you tell anybody else. She takes the venom. Goes over here and says, the pastor told me it was between him and I, but don't you tell anybody else. And the Bible said he whispers and he slithers around in the church. Do you realize what is happening here? We don't need an outside enemy. All of our enemies are sitting on pews every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. The church has become enemies among itself.
Yeah.
While the kingdom of God, darkness, is in complete order.
Yeah.
You talking about disorder? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I I've been in every one of those things he talked about. And I was a pastor. Had I been in that shape when he preached it, I'd have probably said under my breath, I wish he'd shut up. How many of you want me to shut up right now? How many of you not lying? Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. 1 Kings 17:3, he said, Elijah, the man of God, he said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. He speaks of a new beginning, a new day, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. I'm not preaching on that. And it shall be that shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That absolutely, as I studied this, I studied minor prophets in Bible college, and that doesn't make me an expert, but I did study it. And every time we get to this verse, they would just absolutely put a check on, what, ravens? How many of you know a raven is not a clean bird?
Amen.
Unclean.
Yeah.
And so I went to the Septuagint, and I began to pull and extract some of these words out of there. And that is a misinterpretation of Scripture. That word should be missionary. God is not going to send me a raven to feed me when he's got missionaries in the territory that can come and bring me a piece of meat and a parcel of bread every day, and he's giving me fresh water that's flowing out of a spring and gives me all the nutrition that I need. And the missionaries came every day. Can I give you a prophetic word? God is looking for missionaries for America. We have extended our energies to go across the way. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to send you. If you got a burden and a vision to go, you better obey God. But you better get ready, because he's going to start birthing some missionaries for America, because America is losing her focus. She's losing her way rapidly. This is not doom and gloom. I want you to hang with me. I'm going to give you three easy words tonight. Everybody say three easy words. Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yes.
The removal of tainted pictures. I think the first concept we'll begin to deal with tonight is perspective. Everybody say perspective.
Perspective.
How many of you, when you get in your car tomorrow or Friday, you're going to point it in a direction and you're not going to tell your car, take me home? You're going to have to manually, now they may be making those in the future, but right now, you manually have to start it, drive it, and point it in the right direction. And how many of you ever felt that the point in your life, and even maybe tonight you're facing some things, that you feel like you have been going in the wrong direction? Gee, y'all are excited tonight. Are y'all tired? Don't get tired of me because we make a march. I think Sister Jane's got another song in there. I want to see Israel. We'll just march around. Perspective. If you travel to verse chapter 18 of 1 Kings, you will find that there was a governor who was called Obadiah, and then shortly there was a conversation with Elijah, if you'll carry down to verse 21, and Elijah came up to the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? When you've lost your way, or you've lost your focus, you have become double-minded. What changed your focus? What type of pressure on you under that has tried to force you to go in another direction but that which you knew how to go? Beware of opinionated people. You must keep your perspective. You cannot allow opinionated people to change your course. When you know that you have made your election sure, according to 1 Peter, you must stay the course no matter what. You are not responsible for what the pastor believed. You are responsible for what God told you.
Amen.
And he has made his vision to you clear. How many of you can tell me, brother, I have had a vision from God shortly after I got born again? Raise your hand. How many of you would honestly tell me you have veered from your vision? You've taken the wrong highway sometimes. But God has always been faithful to bring you back when you have the right perspective And you know where you're going because you have that sight. You have it in sight. You have it in your view. And you've decided that you're going to stay with it. So our text tonight will be 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is a prophet of God, and he has the authority of God to call rain to come down in a drought. And he has boldly said, it will not rain till I say so. Now, Cheryl, that's Arkansas, from what I understand, is somewhat of a drought. Is that right? If I stood up here and prophesied to you that it was going to rain in the next 5 minutes because I said so, and it didn't rain, what would you think about my word? Well, I could hear all them lights went off. You had to do the flake. But here's a man that stood before the whole nation and he said, it will not rain until I say so. But he has somewhat of opposition. He has Ahab, who is a doubter. How many of you remember the old song, Ahab the Arab? I just remember that song. I saw him smiling. Ahab, Jesse's husband. Contrary spirits. Ahab never wore the pants in his house. Oh, he had some breeches on, but he didn't wear them. And some of us have worked hard all of our lives to try to please the ministry. But we forgot that our focus was to please God first. And Jezebel has used all the sexual intentions she wanted to. She controlled and manipulated Ahab with sexual involvement. I'm going to be a little stern tonight, but I want to be loving in how I say it to you. There is an onslaught in our country against men. Men have lost their places in the home. They've lost their places in public. They've lost their positions in marriage. And they've become wimps. They've become male prostitutes. Because the woman has been given the authority and the power in his home. And therefore he has not stood before God as the priest of his house. And therefore he is exposed to everything around him. Well, it comes in and it goes out and he just goes, que sera, sera. And pressure has been put on women in the house, the mothers, to carry the pants, wear the pants. Some of them have been forced to be in authority. It doesn't tell us a whole lot about Elijah's wife, but it tells us that he was a man of God and God called him. Are you ready to go in? All right, let's go. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel, Mr. Blabbermouth himself. How many of you know that if you tell somebody something and you know in your spirit you can't trust them, they're going to blab it. Jezebel had nothing to do with what Elijah asked Ahab to do. He said, go out there and see if you see any clouds or, you know, anything. He comes back, he says, 7 times. Did he get it the first time? No. The second time? No. The third time? No. He comes back on the 7th time. He says, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. Ahab is the enemy. He was limited in his vision. And all he could see was the limitation of man. A cloud the size of a man's hand. Small vision. But Elijah was the man of the hour, the prophet. And he says, I hear the sound, or the Hebrew says, I hear the noise of the abundance of rain. I'm hearing a noise that is coming over the church that I have never heard before. It's the noise of a fresh revelation that will usher us into the next dimension where God wants to take the church. Because the way that we're going is really slow motion. But God is going to begin to speed things up. Everybody say, speed it up, speed it up. I heard the verse of the Lord tonight. We may not have all the time we think we have. I mean, he is wrapping it. Now, I don't know about you. I don't need to know your beliefs on eschatology and how you believe, it doesn't matter to me. I am waiting for him to come through the eastern skies. And I'm waiting for him to come and to be present on the earth. And I want to be ready for whatever enemy, whatever nation, whatever valley I have to cross, no matter what, I want to be fully prepared. And the only way I can do that is not to lose my perspective. We have to refocus. We have to go back and renew ourselves in the things that we know that God has told us in the early days. I mean, the devil has tried in the last 4 years to absolutely annihilate me and my family. Absolutely. I mean, we felt at times we had no breath left. And God would be telling me, remember the vision. Remember your calling. And He was always so gracious to give me my dream and bring the dream back to me just the way I saw it 30-some-odd years ago. And now there were no dreams. But I knew in my knower, I knew in my spirit that if God be for me, who was going to be against me? I knew that God has some good Samaritan somewhere. And my wife has always been an exhorter and encourager. But it even got to the place where she was so weighed down and so beat down that there was no more encouragement coming. And I woke up one morning and I felt like, God, everything is gone. No anointing. No presence. No joy. No peace. And He tell me, go back to the Word. Go back to the filling station. Fill up. And bring scriptures to my mind. And go back and meditate on those scriptures. And when I had to get away from it all, I'd get on my riding lawnmower for 2.5 hours cutting grass. Can't hear anything else but that. And praying. You're jumping and bouncing. And listening to the Holy Ghost. I don't care how bad it gets. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. And all the blessings of Abraham are yours. You need to get a new perspective and a fresh vision. There was a time in Sodom where there was no clear vision. We've got vision today. We've got focus. We've got purpose. We have perspective. You can still stand up in the presence of God and say, I know in whom I have believed. I myself have found myself like the prophet Elijah and have literally begged God to take my life. I'm saying that because there's some of you in here tonight, you have come very close to the brink of suicide. You begged God to take your life. But I've got good news for you and bad news. He's not going to let it happen. He's going to keep you around because you have not completed your course. And you can't count Him. It doesn't matter what tricks you come. It doesn't matter what you propose to Him. He will not hear that rubbish. You'll hear this. Kick yourself up. Get up. You're in the army. You're in the army. You can't quit in the pit. Despair is not your friend. Listen to the report. Ahab told Jezebel, verse 1, all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Are those words? Are those words? He's going, oh my God. All of them? You mean not one of them? Not one of them brothers made it? Did the bishop make it? Did the apostle make it? Did the overseer make it? Not one of them? You gotta be kidding me! Am I the only one out here? Have you felt like you've been the only one? And He showed you so. Oh, so don't worry about it. I've got 70,000. Said, look at the hills. Look at all these brothers I got praying for you. Lifting you up. Of course, you saw what kind of spirit he had. Did you learn that today? Somehow Elijah lost sight of his faith and took up fear. And made fear part of his agenda. And we're going to move on a little faster, okay? I'm going to show you something. Perspective means you've got to quit rehearsing your past and recreate your future. I'm snake bit. I've always been snake bit. I've been bit by a dog. I'll always be bit by a dog. My mama was like that. My daddy was like that. Oh, hush up. You are rehearsing. You need to quit going to those rehearsal suppers. You need to quit going to all-you-can-eat buffets. And you're spreading. But it ain't the gospel. And you feel like a hog and you've already blessed the food, you get up and you can't hardly walk. Then you go home and say, you know, somehow I'm going to have to get on a diet. Here's a good diet. Watch the words. Because they're spirit words that come out of your mouth. Speak good things to yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you feel encouraged tonight? Perspective means quit rehearsing your past and recreating your future. Can you imagine when Elijah heard this, he began to go, Jesse killed all of them. What did she do? She put fear out in the atmosphere and he came under it. Can I tell you that all that Jesse was doing was blowing smoke? It was a smoke screen. The best Jezebel has ever had was a false anointing. We've had people in the church for years, there've been nothing but leeches. And my brother talked about leeches the other night. I had all this typed up before he came, so I didn't get his notes. I thought he was going to preach my message this morning. He got on Elijah and said, well, he got one of those fear spirits in him. You know, I'm like, oh. How many of you have heard that the thing that Job feared the most came upon him? I've heard preachers say, oh, he was of a little faith. I heard people say he feared God that he would lose his family. Mm-mm. He feared that he would be separated from God. After David's little excursion with Bathsheba, his one request, his one prayer, he had the right perspective. He had brought her husband to the front line so he could be killed, so he could have a hunk of that woman. He lusted after her when she was taking a shower. How many of you take a shower with your clothes on? He's looking from the balcony window and he's seen this woman and she is drop dead gorgeous. So now he's got to begin to operate in his little finite mind. How can I get this thing turned? So he begins to speak words and he gives the authority. Go out and bring this man up to me and I'm going to send him in the front. It was preconceived murder. But did God let him get by with it? A God that loves us? Oh no, he lost the boy. He's in sackcloth and ashes, and here he's crying to God, great king, great man of faith and power. And he's, Lord, whatever you do, don't take away the Holy Spirit. Don't ever lose sight of your perspective. John 16:13 says, how be he the Holy Spirit, when he will come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will never lead you into error. He will never lead you into trouble. He will never lead you into fear. And he's with you always. And I believe it's one thing I have seen lacking in the church in the last 30-something years. They do not depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. They depend on methodology and they depend on men's preacher coming up there and preaching and shirt them up. Oh, I can hoop, but let me tell you, I like to hoop when it's the anointing.
Yeah.
I've been praying for years. It hasn't manifested yet, but it's coming. I'm believing God when I come up here to preach, I'm going to have me an organist. Because I want to have camp meeting church. All you rigid and religious folks, you're just going to have to overcome it. Make the right choice tonight. Do not be religious. We're being ready for change. Everybody say, get ready. Get ready for change. Touch three people, said, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Second thing I noticed about perspective in Elijah's life was reacting instead of recreating. He reacted to the enemy instead of recreating his atmosphere. Jezebel said, oh, Ron, I got news for you. Your ministry is over, son. Your bank account is empty. Nobody will ever call you again to preach. Your anointing has left you. You're nothing but good for dead. You just might as well lay over and keel over and die. And I listened. And all of a sudden it gripped me. Like Elijah, I saw her words. And that which I saw brought into my soul, I said, defeated. I've lost everything. I spent 30 some odd years of my life and God is through with me. Can you prove it, brother? Yes. Now, I'm reading from the old King James. I prefer the old letter because the old letter is more precise. Watch what he said in verse 3. And when he saw that, But let's back up verse 2. Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so then let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Your life's over, son. It's over. The party's over. And when he saw that, everybody said, when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. First Kings, it says he was in a place called there. Now he's in the place called here. Here I am, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah. Standing in the need of prayer. When everything else around me seems to be oblivious, I cannot lose sight of my perspective. I'm going to drive this point until you get it. Do not lose sight of your calling and election, brethren. I preached here last year. There's a river coming. This is not a man-made river. For 20 plus years, we have seen the vision of God. This thing is going to birth at the boot of New Orleans, Louisiana, like an artesian well, and it's going to shoot up, straight up through the United States of America and hit the borders of Canada, and then it will mushroom like into a tree. And there's going to be a mighty river and a move of God that will sweep the land. God is going to bring forth the Benjamins, the sons of his right hand, and they were going to defeat every foe. Because this is the time of exposure. You're not in the pit because you look good. You're not in the pit because you have degrees. You're in the pit because you've been prepared for your future. And if you're going towards your future, you can't go back. If you're from Louisiana, I say, you can't crawfish, brother. Do you know that crayfish move faster going backwards than they do forward? Because forward, they just creep, creep, creep. But they had a predator show up. You know what that perspective is? That mama told him, said, boy, that horse in the pasture, that cow in the pasture, they can't hurt you. But when you go up that chimney, if you see occasion with a net, they're going to catch you and eat you. Keep your perspective right. Back up. In saying that, don't fall for the enemy's trap. I don't care if it's bishop or prophet or master prophet or whatever prophet. And he goes to you and he says, yea, the Lord will send thee. Thou shalt move to California. Yea, and thou shalt sell thy wagon and thy horses. Yea, and the Lord will say, and thou shalt prosper. You sell everything you have like a goofball and get to California and can't even make a living. Where is that joker? When God told you, don't leave. Don't move. Some of you are planted strategically in churches. And there's a purpose for you to be there. If everybody found that purpose, I guarantee we would cut our church hopping. I don't think y'all got church hopping in Cricket when my brother was preaching. I didn't hear somebody say amen. We don't make those decisions. Can I give you a pearl? You will blossom and bloom where you're planted. That's scriptural. You've had a lot of scripture this week. I am not turning to read all the scriptures to you. Go back and seek those things out. Are you ready? When you've lost your perspective, it will send you in the wrong direction. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, let's flow down a little bit with this. And he says, but he himself, verse 4, went a day's journey to the wilderness. Is there a purpose for our wilderness? The wilderness, there's a purpose for the wilderness because it's going to give you new perspective. And it's going to give you direction and a little bit of correction. You've got to have correction before you get direction. If you're going the wrong way, my God, don't turn the opposite way and trying to find it and just run all around the mountain 40 more years like the Israelites. Just stop and ask somebody, hey, am I going the right way? Is this the right way to Bombay or whatever? Wrong focus leads to improper action. Think about it. When he saw those words, he began to paint a picture on the canvas of his mind. And everything began to be blur. And he's going, oh my. But what he lost sight was,
after this mission was over, you ready to shout? He was going to anoint some other guy as king. And then he was going to pass his mantle to somebody else called Elisha. His mandate was not over, but the enemy was trying to convince him, hey man, this is it. It's finito. Everybody say it's finished. It's not finished until he says it's finished. I don't care if the fat lady sings or not. Come on, somebody help me. Do I have any witnesses in here? Are y'all alive or dead? I mean, is this the church of the living? Or the church of the sleepy? I'm so full of chicken I can't move. I think we ought to fast the night before the preacher. Realize that the enemy will strike you when you are tired. How come that sucker don't come up and... What's this, the jingle? When I'm full of vigor and I'm ready, I'm prayed up. When I'm tired and beat, he just shows up. Slaps you. Don't ever make decisions when you're tired. Don't do it. It's going to take you into the wrong station of life. The second concept is perceptive. You've heard this many times already this week. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, God wants to give you the discerning of spirits. Did I share this the other night about my demon list and that had me throw them away? Oh, good. I'm a young pastor. We are pastoring our first church. We have gone through Bible college. Man, we are full of faith power. The devil, we are a threat to the devil. And back in those days, we had a concept that we used for ministering deliverance. And we had sheets. And we had them categorized. Spirit of fear, we got all the other spirits. Spirit of lust, all the spirits. And so we had these people coming. I mean, we were the most important folks in town. A town of about 3,000 or 4,000 people. And I had, now if you are one of these denominations, please don't get offended. But you might want to consider leaving and getting to the real deal. Now here. This little Methodist woman came every Tuesday afternoon for a 2 o'clock appointment. You still love me? Yeah. Oh, that was weak. Let me go over here, my brother. Y'all still love me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Go team up with this time. Now, we go through the list. Now, we used to call that the shotgun method. We killed some devils. We took some ground. And we'd make copies and give them to folks. And the Bible said that the devil is wise as a serpent. So sister got all these troubles coming in every Tuesday with the same problem. Now the demons are multiplying. I'm a young pastor. My heart's in the right place. I want to do right. I want to help this lady. She's in a chaotic situation. She started showing up with her own list. You talk about tainted pictures? I thought, man, I am really messing up. She's got all these demons and I'm still working on it? Something's wrong with this picture. I must not be hearing from God. I wasn't. I was dependent on that list. If you had a devil, it had to be on that list. We go to that list and bless her heart. She just said that so graciously. And I said, now cough. I said, cough! Dignified. I said, cough! Nah, we got him. We got it. We got it! Next week, she comes in. This went on for a period of time. But one Tuesday, prior to that meeting, I heard the Holy Ghost. And he said, take that list and put it in file 13. I said, devil, you is a liar. I'm fixing to stomp on you, slap you silly. I'm going to get my Holy Ghost bat and just knock you out of the ballpark. And the Lord said, son, be realistic. You're going to knock him out with a ball bat? You know he's not physical, he's spiritual.
And I said, Lord, of course, I didn't want to accept the fact that I was naive and didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, I just took a wrong turn. That's all I did. And the Lord says, I'm going to teach you, if you'll ask me, I'll teach you how to discern. And she walks in. She sits down. She pulls the list. I said, all right, let me have that list. She said, Pastor, you didn't even look at it. I said, don't need to. Don't want to know what's on it. I said, don't cross your legs. Don't fold your arms. I said, pray in the Holy Ghost. She said, what? Oh, Jesus. I said, she doesn't have the Holy Ghost? I said, you can get it. You ready? You believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Yes. You believe if you open your mouth, you're going to speak in tongues? Get the evidence? You right? Yes. She started praying in tongues. I said, I keep praying. Her motor was going. And then while she's doing that, I'm going, Lord, now what? I am in so deep, I don't know if I can swim out. And he said, now call this. Boom. Call that. Boom. We were done in 15 minutes. She looked like she had been whitewashed. Oh, my God. I'm high-stepping. She laughed. What a ministry I got now. I'm getting another degree on this one, baby. I called my pastor friend and said, man, has the Lord been talking to you about discernment? He said, matter of fact, he has. I said, what did he say? He said, he tore up my list. I said, we need to have coffee, brother, and have a holy conversation. And we saw the whole ministry change. We watched folks get set free. And our church doubled because they put us on the Gazette. Demon chaser, demon caster, Reverend so-and-so on Main Street in Bunky, Louisiana. The only thing they needed, brother, was my friendly smiling face on the front page. Of course, I was looking sharp and I had nice, cold black hair. And a lot more of it. And a lot less pounds. So you have to be perceptive. And somebody said this today, was it you? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, you don't. All you have to have is simple, child-like faith. I apologize for my co-laborers who have, some of them have gone before me, who have complicated the gospel. It's not complicated. It's simple. You believe God. You trust Him. And if you're in that pit, you hold on for dear life until you get out of it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, we're going to do good. I'm going to let you out early. That's my intention, but it may not be His. So we got that perspective. Refrain making decisions when you're tired. Secondly, during your most trying moments, God will provide for you. He did with the little woman. That was my example. Now, the cave was created not to hide Elijah. Because now he's going to move from his perspective and his perception and move into a cave like he's going to go hide from all these troubles. We call that the great escape. The holy prophet of God of Israel is now going to go hide in the cave and he's going to go to sleep. Sister, it ain't going to happen like that. And many times we find ourselves in our Christian endeavor, we find methods like, I'm going to sleep till this baby's gone. And you get up in the morning. If it's not twice, it's three times as bad. Because now it's multiplied. Because you're going to have to plant your feet and stand firm in the faith. And tell the devil, I will not be moved from this spot. One brother said he was taking his territory and he told the devil, I ain't moving from this spot. I don't care if everybody leaves and everybody left. I said, what'd you do, brother? He said, I preached the empty chairs. I said, what happened? He said, well, you notice you're here, you're going to preach. Look at them. They came back 1, 2, 5, 10 at a time. Service after service, I preached the empty chairs. Because God told me, don't you move from that spot. My mind told me, you are crazy. They're going to lock you up, throw away the key, forget you ever existed. But I stood my ground. And he said, I stood there and watched God bring him back. How many of you have felt that maybe in your ministry and maybe on your work ethic, you'd like to give up? Things are not changing fast enough for you. But during the time when he was hiding, look at this. Look at verse 5. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree. Everybody say, you ever seen a juniper tree? It's a broom tree. Rattan, they make brooms out of that. Now, I'm going to pretend that all of y'all are prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic. Why would God have a juniper tree in the midst of this story? Because he's going to develop it into a broom. And he's going to give it to the prophet and say, now, clean up your own mess. I did not call you to the cave. But you know, twice he told God, two similar passages the brother was reading this morning about the spirit of jealousy. Twice, the same paragraph is in that same chapter. He didn't tell God that one time. He said, man, you know who I am? I'm the dude. I'm Elijah the prophet. And I've been jealous for the Lord God. He didn't tell him that once. He must have been rehearsing this. He said it again. And God says, well, wait a minute. Behold, get a revelation of this. Then an angel touched him. And said unto him, arise and eat. Now, when you get invited to a buffet, you know you're going to eat. In the cave. First class service. The angel, the messenger of God, comes to the man of God and says, Bubba, you need to eat. I brought you a little bread and a little meat. But God didn't bring just any kind of bread, my brother. There were two main grains in all of Israel. One was wheat and the other was barley. Wheat was for the heirs, the royal family. You ought to have been shouting. The peculiar people. The holy nation.
Hallelujah.
The royal priesthood.
Yes.
That's what the wheat was for. And it made that kind of bread because it was a sustaining bread. And barley was only made to feed the poor and the horses. You are not poor.
Hallelujah.
And you're not horses.
Hallelujah.
You are of a royal breed.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
And when you think you're hiding from God, you're not the best kept secret in the nation, because he has placed it over the billboards of heaven and he has declared, my boy is hiding in the cave, so I've got to go down there and send an angel to get him.
Weren't
they not ministering spirits? How many of you have ever seen an angel? Not spooky angels. Not those little floating things in a with little wings in a... I'm talking the real deal. I've been blessed. I was telling the brother, I used to see him walk up and down my house all the time. But when I got in the pit, no angels coming after me. No angels coming after me. No prophet calling me. No apostle calling and checking on me. No pastors wondering if I made it. The priest walked by me and he said, oh well, he can handle it. God sent an angel. And it was an angel in a time that I needed to hear from God. And this brother calls us and living in Houston and said, listen, can you come and pray with us? We've got a brother and sister that are going through a divorce and we want you to come and pray with us. And so we went with him to San Antonio into that courtroom. We didn't know this brother and sister for whether they were Adam or Eve or who they were. We went there to support them in prayer. But God had a purpose that was going to prepare me for my future.
Yes, yes.
While I'm praying, I'm holding this sister's hand. We're in the hallway. They had a recess. And we got caught up in the spirit. And God said, open your eyes and look. And I looked and there was this humongous angel holding my hand. And all I would do is go, God. The scripture said he fell before the angel like he was God. He said, no, get up. He said, I'm your brethren. And 2 weeks time, I walked totally in the spirit. Like I knew earth was beneath my feet. Smiled and had a glow. I like what that brother said on TV when I was in a bubble. I could see the angels. I could hear him saying, praising God at the throne. Jesus is walking by. I'm in the spirit. I'm not in it. For 2 weeks with a smile on my face. And I said, Lord, what is that? He said, tell my people, in the very last days, they were going to learn how to walk totally in the spirit.
they will not be hindered by the flesh. I will give them eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that will know me. That was not the only encounter, but that was the one that was so graphic. So when I'm going through this and I'm watching Elijah feeling sorry for himself, singing all the sad songs, why he couldn't do this. Oh, is me. I'm snake bit. I'm good for that. I might as well just hang up my harp and die. The angel went to feed him. But for some reason, God was not able to accomplish his mission at that point. So we go a little bit further. Verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness. He's got his direction. He's got his correction. Came and sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him. Are y'all paying attention? The second time, and touched him, and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He got his focus back. He ate the first time and energized his body. He ate the second time. It energized his spirit and his eyes were open. And we go along and he says, and he rose and did eat and drink and went into the strength of that meat 40 days. 40 is the number of trials and tribulation. It's also a number of probation. And 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Here we find, in the third and final point, protection. Now you have perspective. Now you have perceptive. Now protective. You must protect your anointing. Avoid leeches. Avoid pitfalls. Avoid evil associations. Know whom you labor among. Make sure when they say, yea, yea, it's not the flesh. Check it out in the spirit. The Bible said the Bereans were more noble than all of them, and they checked the scriptures daily. 1 John 4:1 says, try every spirit. Do you know most of the church world doesn't believe that there are any antichrist spirits on the earth? That's going to come with 666. The beast. If you ever get together with some of these Jewish commentaries and some of these Jewish scholars, they'll tell you that 666 is a numerical number that doesn't even exist and has nothing to do with the church world. It was the number of Augustus Caesar, numerically 666. But the traditional church has tried to make us believe it's part of the beast system and part of the computerized system, and it's going to take us over. God would never allow such a thing to take over His bride. Study the principles. Don't take my word for it. I didn't get any amens on that. I didn't get a no me. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's finish up. I know you're getting tired. Finally, and everybody say amen, this be it. Shield yourself from the things and from people who will try to drain your anointing. Yeah. I don't know if my wife said this, but you're not anybody's garbage can. When they call you and say, you know, I was over at camp meeting, but you know, that brother that was preaching goes, listen, can I pray for you? And then they refuse to listen. I just picked up something. You have a problem with that brother. I'm going to be at the camp meeting tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Can you meet me at the door? I say, and I'm going to go sit with you, and we're going to talk to that brother. And so you can rectify and change all that, those problems. I used to get all the garbage calls. My wife did too. I said, Lord, we've got to be able to put a stop to this enemy. He said, ask him if they want to go talk to the pastor. You take them there. And tell them to tell the pastor what they told you. Can you believe there was no prayer request?
None.
The Bible says, you've got to catch the thief. You've got to be wiser than serpent. Don't fall for his trap. Don't fall for his game. He's going to try to paint pictures in your mind that have nothing to do with what God asked you to do. He will mislead you if you allow him. But only you, like Smoking the Bear said, can prevent forest fires. Only you. And you do that with your little rudder. This is my rudder, my brother. Oh, I know what criticism is. I was my worst critic.
I saw something in this camp that I had not seen and that I needed desperately for years. And I remember a missionary named Mike Clark. He said this to me in early years in Bible college. If you can't say anything good about anybody, talk about that feet. Brother, you got some nice shoes there. Huh? Oh, you got some whoppers for a foot. Nice feet. Don't criticize. Because you don't know what that brother or sister is going through sitting next to you. Don't be the devil's advocate. Be the devil's worst nightmare. Because see, I am smart enough to know. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest. If you restrict water in the pipe without having a pop-off valve, it's going to burst. You must find someone that you can trust. Be it your pastor or pastor's wife. Someone that you can relate to. That you can flow and let it overflow. I said, I'm having this. Listen to what they have to say and offer some good godly counsel and pray for them. If they have the need delivered, give them deliverance. If they need healing, pray for the healing. It's time for the church to quit sending the people to the psychic. Or wasting money reading zodiac signs. I don't generally promote other people's stuff, but Brother William has the message about vampires. None of you should leave without it. It is on the horizon. If anybody had a right now word, that man had a right now word from God. It's on the horizon. And you know what? If you're like us, you have young, innocent little children in whom, and mom and dad is always so busy and they can't watch the remote control on the TV. Guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to start getting it into their little minds. And of course, if their little friends are watching it, when they go to school, guess what they're going to do? They're going to talk about it. They're going to explore because they're curious. Third and last point, be protective. Shield yourself from these people. Don't let them drain your anointing. Number one, remind yourself of your calling. You know what God called you to do. And if you don't, you can find out. You can find out what God called you to do. David said he was young and he was old, but he never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. David says in 139, he says, you cannot hide from God. If I make my bed in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Hades, thou art there. There is no place to hide. So be honest with yourself. And above all, be honest with God. When He puts His finger on the area, don't try to get spiritual. Hello? Anybody in here? Secondly, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises of God are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. Get reacquainted with your vision. You know, if you had a chest of gold in your house, these gold bars, you know, gold is very expensive now. Who would not like to have a bunch of gold bars? The real deal. You'd probably hire the mob or somebody to stand out your door to protect the chest. Why? Because that's where your heart is. Well, why not station the angels to be encamped around you to protect your anointing? Because your anointing that you got from God can't be bought at the PX. Can't be bought in a grocery store. You can't order it from Sears. And you can't get it from Walmart. It was given to you by the Holy Father. It is interesting, as I noticed in closing, that Elijah heard something before he saw it. And the third and final thing, as you travel and find him, because he's going to go out and anoint this guy to be king. And the most valuable point is, while he's there, God says, and anoint Jehu. Are you ready to shout? The thing that he fought the most, Jezebel. Through all his career, he's constantly fighting the Jezebels of the nation. God said, not only will you call, I think it's Haziel, anoint him for king, I want you to anoint Jehu. Jehu was the man that was going to kill the Jezebel spirit and will annihilate it from the nation. God is looking for some Jehus.
Hallelujah. Yes, He is.
It's simple. Perspective, perceptive, and protection. When Sister Motormouth comes to you, and Brother Know-It-All, just tell him, hold your peace. I've sat in churches. When I knew the man, when he appeared, he was a false prophet. And he came up to me, and he, I said, don't lay hands on me. He made it a second time. And I said, if you lay hands on me, I'm going to lay you out. He said, what? I said, don't lay hands on me. He said, well, I got a word for you. I said, I don't want it. I asked him. But we had another encounter. He said, and how come? I said, because you're not the real deal. And a few months later, he was discovered. He was not the real deal. But you know how many churches he had closed and poisoned before somebody had the backbone instead of a wishbone and said, I don't believe in you. You're not the real deal. When is the church going to quit sitting down and taking sucker punches from the devil and begin to stand up in righteousness and say, don't you prophesy those lies to me. I call it, out! I thought she's going to bust me in my nose. She went, out! I'm talking, you talking to me? When's the last time you opened the door of your heart? All right. All you demons, all you evil spirits, all spirit of wickedness, all whoremongers, all witchcraft. Well, I said, well, they can go through the door. I said, I make it easy for them. Out! Hallelujah! Stand to your feet. Come on. I know you're tired. Hallelujah! I want you to say this with me. This is the new day. It's the new hour. We're in the shift. God's aligning things in our lives. He's turning us around. He's bringing back the victory. We're the head. And we were not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And all the promises of God. Oh, amen. To the glory of God. By us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. I have the victory. Give Him a shout. Give Him a roaring. Well, we've got two more days of camp meeting. Y'all got plenty of word coming. I'm out of time. I'm not out of word. I'll catch you next time on the internet. If I don't see you here, I'll see you up there. You have a blessed camp meeting, and we'll be back as soon as God allows us to come back. Be blessed. Have great time in the Lord. And remember, you have the victory, and do not lose your focus. Amen. Hug somebody before you leave. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.